And you've got Art Waves on this final Tuesday of April 2017. Redwood Curtain's latest production is called Third. It's by the late playwright Wendy Wasserstein, whose popular plays also include the long-running Pulitzer Prize and Tony Award-winning The Heidi Chronicles. As she was known for achieving in her plays, Third also includes a strong yet troubled female figure. There's a strong male lead in here, too. The play opens this Thursday and Friday, April 27th and 28th, with previews, and opening night is Saturday. The play runs Thursdays through Saturdays through May 20th, evening showtimes at 8 p.m., and there is a Sunday matinee scheduled for May 14th at 2 p.m. My guests are Chris Joris, who plays Professor Laurie Jameson, and depending on your perspective, you can see the character played by my second guest, Joey Lawrence, as her antagonist. He is Woodson Bull III. Your character.
Yes.
Let's start with your... We'll get to Joey's character in a couple of minutes, but your character, Chris, your character is the professor. No.
Yes.
Professor. Yes. College yes. professor. Professor... Professor Jameson.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Does she have a first name? Yes.
Laurie.
Yeah. Professor Laurie Jameson. It strikes me from the description of this play that she's really set on, initially, I guess, set on what she thinks is correct and very confident about who she is.
She is. Yeah, I think that she's... how best to say it? She has some very strong feelings and ideas about the world, and is very, very, very liberal, and very much sort of against the patriarchy and against the establishment and, you know, warmongering and all of that. And I think that what she feels like she sees in Third is that, which is kind of silly because it's not really there. She makes a snap judgment about him, which is, you know, her daughter even calls her out on it later that, you know, you made a judgment about him just like people are always making you're always criticizing people for making judgments about other people. So, yeah.
And what is, it's not clear here. She teaches English?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she teaches English, especially in this particular production. We see her teaching Shakespeare and Jane Austen in two different scenes, and she teaches them from a decidedly feminist angle. So,
would you say, Chris, that you had to get more familiar or refamiliarize yourself with these authors or their works to any degree in order to portray this woman?
There's a lot about King Lear in this play, both in the relationship between just in what she's teaching. She's actually outright teaching it in her what is referred to as her uncorseting Elizabethan drama class. So you hear her talk about King Lear quite a bit, and about Lear as a human being, and then also about Cordelia and Goneril and Regan, the daughters. And then what you start to find out later on is that the relationship with her father is not unlike Cordelia's relationship with Lear. And so there are echoes of King Lear that sort of perfuse the entire thing. So...
Well, and then in terms of power struggle, you know, who's in control, who's not, part of the plot is that Joey turns in an essay, mm-hmm. a sophisticated essay about King Lear that Professor Jameson is sure he didn't write.
Yeah.
You know, and reports him.
Yes. Well, and more than reports him, asks to take him in front of the Committee of Academic Standards and really kind of tries to get him thrown out for plagiarism, which is absolutely unfair. He did not do it. He's just written this amazing paper.
So it's all right to say, it's not a spoiler alert or anything, to say that he really is innocent.
No, it's fine. Yeah. No, he really is innocent.
He really is. Okay. Yeah. So it's not even, okay. So, because I was wondering if it's about the idea of truth and lies.
There's a lot of that. There's truth and lies. There's prejudice and how we all tend to make snap judgments about each other, whether it's because of the color of your skin or a socioeconomic reason. You know, I think you have money. I don't think you have money. How you're dressed, any of that. So even if you're not making openly and overtly prejudiced, what we would think of as overtly prejudiced comments or thoughts or judgments about people, we're always all making judgments about people, right or wrong. It's sort of how we interrelate. So it's a lot about truth. It's about how we see one another and how we all are sort of moving through life. The character of my father is actually sort of at the end of his life. My character is just becoming an empty nester. And then Joey's character, of course, is the young 20-something, or not even something, the young 20-year-old.
Yep.
That has come in and is sort of that younger generation and representing that younger voice. So
Joey, first of all, your character is Woodson Bull III.
Yes, that's correct.
And that is why the play is called Third?
Yep.
Would you say?
Yeah, go ahead. He goes by Third as a nickname, and he refers to this multiple times. One character throughout the whole play calls him Third in one line, but it's his family nickname. He's in a family of Woodson Bulls.
Huh. Do you have an idea of this character of Woodson, what being the Third means to him, means for him?
Well, yeah, it's kind of a sense of pride. You know, there's got to be a reason why someone keeps their name throughout a family for a long time. And he does refer in the play that his grandfather did have a lot of money. So either he was a big businessman or he did something to have his claim to fame. It's not really stated. I of course have something in my head, but yeah, it's a sense of pride. It's a sense of belonging. Yeah.
Well, tell more about how does this what kind of relationship does this character, does Woodson have with King Lear?
He loves this play, and he's not really one to like history or even poetry for that matter, but he really loves the play King Lear because it reminds him of his family. And he refers to his grandfather losing his money and going a little bit crazy and his dad going into depression, which is a lot of what happens in King Lear. It's about that paternal relation with your children and how that can greatly affect you to sometimes very extreme results, I guess you could say. And so there's a lot he draws from Lear into his own life. And, you know, the sense of royalty and then the sense of losing that said royalty.
Now, is this play a drama?
Yeah.
I would say so, yeah.
It has funny moments.
Yeah, it's very much realism.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, Joey, were you familiar with this play before you were cast?
No, I was not.
So, I'd read it a few times, partially in play selection for Redwood Curtain, since I do read at least some of the plays that we end up choosing. This actually happens to be Wendy Wasserstein's last play that she wrote before she died. So it had its premiere performances at Lincoln Center and with Diane Wiest in the role of Laurie Jameson and Gabby Hoffman as the daughter and Charles Durning as the father. Wow. So yeah, an amazing cast of people. It's one of those things when you picked up the script, the name Wendy Wasserstein on the cover of the script, immediately sort of like, well, definitely, I'm going to read that. And I will say that I didn't particularly care for Laurie at the first reading of it. And it took me a little while to find the redeeming quality in someone who makes a snap judgment about someone and then basically proceeds to try and ruin their life over what she perceives as truth, but is not.
Yeah, so. There's a lot of layers to these characters. I definitely got the same feeling when I read the role of Professor Jameson and read all these characters. Even when I read through Woods and Bull, I came to the first reading and I gave off this very, like, arrogant, very fiery kind of vibe to him because he's a wrestler. And, you know, so immediately that tells me this guy likes a good fight and he's very much a competitive being. So when I came there and I kind of gave off that energy, Justin said, you know, there's a lot more to this kid than that. There's a reason why Professor Jameson accuses him of plagiarism and why she tells him that this paper is intelligent. He's a very intellectual being as well. So, you know, it really takes reading the play a couple times. I'm sure when you see it, it'd be very much different. But when you're reading it, when you're just reading the lines alone and not having any kind of, like, tone color to the lines to listen to or anything like that, you think, wow, okay, these people are very straightforward in what they do. But the more and more you go through it, you're like, okay, there's a lot to this.
You know what I was thinking about when I was deciding on what kind of questions I was going to ask was, I wrote, are there any original ideas anymore? Because I was thinking about plagiarism.
Mm-hmm.
I was also thinking about the software program that colleges use now to catch plagiarism.
Mm-hmm.
Turnitin.com.
And
we use that. I've had a lot of professors who will only accept papers if you turn it into Turnitin.com. And it'll tell you, like, what percentage of the paper tells you, like, that it's original and what percentage is from other sources. It's really interesting.
It is, because I don't know. I mean, original ideas, you might, I don't know.
What's interesting in here is that part of the accusation, and it's even supported by other teachers at the, other professors at the college is, in the story, it's not real. It's said over and over again that if you use what your teacher taught you and don't cite them, that you are plagiarizing, which of course then we all sort of reflect on that and say, but isn't that what education's about? That my teacher teaches me things so that I can bring that back. And there's a lot of teachers out there, of course, who really just want you to regurgitate what they just told you. It's an interesting thought about what is plagiarism?
Right.
Because, what is stealing intellectual property?
Yeah, because you might adopt some things that you've learned in some source or in a book or in a magazine, in a newspaper, on TV. You might adopt some things that were said in classroom during classrooms discussions.
Mm-hmm.
And you create a writing, an essay, a play that touches on those things that have affected you in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Is that plagiarism?
Yeah, it's a really interesting thought.
Yeah, and sometimes you'll write something or you'll say something out loud and somebody will say, hey, no, that's actually, this person said that beforehand and you didn't even know that this person even existed. You just thought it as well.
Joey Lawrence, who plays the role of Woodson Bull III. And also here is Chris Joris, who is Professor Lori Jameson, in Redwood Curtain's production of Third, a play by Wendy Wasserstein. The play opens with previews this Thursday and Friday night, with gala opening on Saturday night. I'm Wendy Butler, and this is Art Waves on KHSU.
The other interesting thing about the thought of, is anything original anymore? This play takes place in 2002, and the academic year of 2002-2003. And there's all sorts of talk about the Iraq War and George Bush and Dick Cheney and Bill Kristol and that whole gang of people. And there are so many echoes of what we're going through right now. And he even says at one point, Thirds even says, you know, that, do you wonder, what is it? You wonder how all of those states turned up red on election day.
Right. It's because we're shunned. We don't talk to each other like we used to anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so interesting. So intriguing and just gut-wrenching at times, too.
Yeah. It's oddly relevant.
Yeah.
You know, 15 years later.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you could indeed do that excerpt.
Yeah, I have to think about where we want to stop, but let's just roll until we can't roll anymore.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Okay.
First scene of the play?
Yeah, just from the end of the lecture.
Oh, yeah. Actually, one of my favorite things that our director, Justin Takata, said to us when we were doing this, I think the first time we ran through it, he said, I want this to kind of be like a judo match. I kind of want this to be like, you know, it's so funny because there's a moment where there's a beat I take before I step on the stage to say, excuse me, Professor Jameson, may I talk to you for a second? And to me, that's kind of like the bow before stepping on the karate mat. And it's just this very much like back and forth, like banter talk, almost like debate they have, and it's so fascinating and it's so exciting.
Do you walk around each other?
To a degree. More than anything, there are levels on the set that we use for the power game, basically. Mm. So,
and it begins. So the scene that you're going to do an excerpt of is when you meet for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, we'll give that a shot.
Excuse me, Professor Jameson. May I talk to you for a second?
Certainly. How can I help you, Mr.
Bull. Woodson Bull.
You're kidding.
No, ma'am.
This isn't the Citadel, Mr. Bull. You don't need to call me ma'am.
I know that, ma'am.
How about I call you Woody? The name Woody has great connotations for me. Did your parents name you after Woody Guthrie?
My father's name is Woodson. I'm actually Woodson Bull III. As a matter of fact, my family nickname is just plain Third. My dad went to school here when it was still a men's college. So did my grandfather.
Well, then I'm certain they didn't name you for Woody Guthrie, or even Woody Allen, for that matter. All right, Woody. How can I help you today? Did you have a question about King Lear?
It's certainly different than how we learned about it at Groton.
Oh, God, I hope so. What good would your college education be if all we had you do was regurgitate what you learned at Groton? Are you confused about anything that I said?
No.
Good, because I imagine that when your father and your grandfather went here, King Lear was taught very differently.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
Would you like some additional reading on the subject? I would recommend Cynthia Carleton's wonderful book on cross-dressing in Shakespeare, or Kathleen McCluskey's essay, The Patriarchal Bard. Or you could read my recent book, Girls Will Be Boys. Are you an English major, Woody?
Sociology.
Good choice. Too many statistics for my taste, but at least you're tangling with the real world.
I want to be a sports agent. I'm doing socioeconomic history on the top-grossing athletes. Independent work.
And how does Shakespeare fit into that?
I don't mind it. I did a few plays at Groton. And I could use some humanities credits.
So, Groton, then you come from a long line of not only Woods and Bulls, but rich ones.
Yeah, from a rich college, and or not even, sorry, rich high school,
right,
too.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes from Ohio, Midwestern state.
Right, okay. So another thing I'd like to ask, actually, a question I have for you, Joey, is your background in theater and your interest in continuing with theater, is this... first of all, have you been acting since you were, I mean, because you're, what, 20 now? Something like that. Am I right?
Yeah, you're correct.
You're actually, I got it right on the...
Yeah, right on the dot. I'm actually 20 years old, just like Woodson Bull III.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And makes it easier if you're playing somebody who is your age or comparable to your age, right?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
But you've played other roles, like you've been at... Is it Ferndale Rep?
Yeah, Ferndale Rep is the one that I've worked the most with. Really love them there. Great people.
And what have you played there?
The most famous role that I've been known for there is Bat Boy in Bat Boy the Musical. And I was also Rocky in Rocky Horror. And I was Fiedka in Fiddler on the Roof. I was Ensemble in Legally Blonde. Yeah, I've worked a lot there. But as far as how long I've been acting, I actually got into theater at my freshman year of high school at Arcata High. And I just took drama as an elective course because I was like, okay, this seems like fun. And after doing scenes and getting really into it and doing character work, I actually developed like a strong passion for it. And so I auditioned for Arcata Arts Institute, which is kind of the school within the school at Arcata High. Their theater now is fabulous. I just can't believe it. but anyways, I went there for all 4 years of high school, and I learned a lot with Melanie Zapper and Joshua Arbaugh. And I auditioned for California State Summer School of the Arts in summer of 2014, which is a little bit north of LA. So I went down there and I studied for about a month, and I came back and I feel like I had a lot of new insights from that experience. And I just started doing plays with Ferndale mainly. And I actually did a play here at HSU called Columbinus, with HSU Theater Company.
And, I interviewed some cast members and the director, and I saw the production.
Yeah. Oof, that was a heavy one.
It was, but it was important.
Yeah, very much so. I agree.
Yeah, and so I'm thinking, well, there's Columbinus, and now this is a very different type of play, and then of course Rocky Horror is very different from the other two.
Yeah.
And so do you have an interest as far as comedy, drama, or what you want to see, what you see yourself doing on stage?
You know, I first started off liking realism and doing straight plays, kind of drama and comedy. I love to do little short skits too, especially at Arcata High. We'd have like a little talent show, and that was always fun to write our own comedy sketches and stuff. But I started auditioning for musicals when I got out of high school, because I realized I was kind of the norm of Humboldt Theater was musicals. And I was like, ah, great, I can't find any realism anywhere. And then I realized that I actually really like musicals too. And so I got into that for about a year or so. And then I got the notice for Columbinus. Lyra Satloff actually gave word to Dr. Troy, and I got into that play. And I thought to myself, this is the kind of theater that I really like doing, is social commentary and things that have a really powerful message. And actually, the last performance I did was Emily La Marquise du Châtelet Defends Her Life Tonight at Redwood Curtain Theater, which is about a woman who, to put it shortly, proved Isaac Newton wrong, which is really incredible. And I didn't even know she existed until Redwood Curtain sent me the script, and I fell in love with it, and I've fallen in love with this play and Columbinus. So that's kind of what I feel is very important right now, especially in the times we're having.
Would you say, maybe both of you could speak to this before we finish, social commentary? It's interesting that you brought that up. This play, Third, would you say that it is looking, is it looking at different issues, social issues?
Oh, yeah. I think the biggest one for me is overgeneralizing, and not just for, you know, what, like Chris said, not only your skin color or your socioeconomic background or what school you went to, but just one's overall attitude, and just kind of taking something that they say and making an entire persona for them, even though it's not true. Or, you know, saying this person is a liar, that they've plagiarized, they've stolen a paper just because they're the third in a family of Woodson Bulls, things like that. So stereotypes and stereotyping is a really, really big theme in this play, I would say. That's the biggest takeaway for me anyways.
What do you think, Chris?
I think there's definitely social commentary. You know, obviously what Joe just said, I completely agree with. But for me, there's also a lot saying, it says a lot about the stages of life that we all go through. The title is not just about his nickname. It's also about, in particular, the third stage of life. If you look at the Virgin Mother Crone thing, there are a couple of us in the show who are on the crone scale. We've just started into cronedom. And then there's, the character of my father, who is just finishing his life completely. So there's a lot that is about just trying to find your way through those stages of life, and how do you separate from people, and how do you move forward with things. And so I think that speaks a lot to me, especially.
Redwood Curtain presents Wendy Wasserstein's Third. Previews this Thursday and Friday, April 27th and 28th, and opening night is Saturday. The play runs Thursdays through Saturdays through May 20th, evening showtimes at 8 p.m. And one Sunday matinee is scheduled for May 14th at 2 p.m. My guests today have been Joey Lawrence, who plays the role of Woodson Bull III, and Chris Joris, who is Professor Lori Jameson. Redwood Curtain is located at 220 First Street in Old Town Eureka. It's an intimate theater, 80 seats, so reservations are highly recommended. You can reserve or purchase tickets online at redwoodcurtain.com, or you can phone 443-7688. I'm Wendy Butler, and I produce, engineer, and host Art Waves, which is a production of KHSU at Humboldt State University. And there are several ways to listen to this program. It's broadcast each Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. And we've also got it live and archived shows online at khsu.org. And you can also download podcasts of the program from iTunes. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Listener-supported diverse public radio for the North Coast of California and the South Coast of Oregon. This is KHSU and KHSU HD 90.5 Arcata, KHSR 91.9.